Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that'll link it bad. But the strong link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 823 of the Linux Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Pat.
Howdy.
And we have Joe.
Hello again.
Joe, since you're dying, did you have anything you wanted to bring up right at the start of the show?
Not really.
Well, the hell with you then.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, the only thing going on lately is... found out I work with one of the maintainers for Void Linux, so I'm gonna try and get an interview in with that guy.
Oh, wait, what's Void Linux?
Flavor of Linux. All I really know about it is it doesn't use systemd.
Oh, okay. ARM, Intel x86 ARM and MIPS. So did they do a Raspberry Pi release?
For what?
Void Linux.
I don't know much about it at this point.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to find out. That's cool. So he works in the same company as you? Or the same office and everything?
Yeah, same building, same floor.
Is he new?
Relatively new. He also... we don't have a lot of the development teams in Dallas. They're mostly in New York, but... he's on one of the development teams that's moving out this way. So now, when the developers mess up, I have somebody I can go yell at. Which always makes me happy.
Wait, when you say that they're moving out that way, are they moving from New York to Texas? Or they're moving more development out on your side so that it's a bigger team?
They're moving more development out this way. The number of people actually willing to move from New York to Texas seems to be fairly small, so...
I'm surprised. I'd be willing to get the fuck out of there in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, does your company let people work remotely?
No, it's actually being tightened down on, and they're not allowing it as much... I mean, even just working from home, if something comes up, as long as it doesn't happen too often, it won't raise any flags. But they try to prevent it as much as possible.
Have they had bad experiences with it?
Yeah, evidently there's, a couple people here and there that just have never come into work.
That's the whole idea of working from home, though.
But, I think the problem was team building.
Okay.
I think there's better team building and better productivity if everybody's in the office.
Yeah.
We still work from home on the weekends or holidays. The second, I'll be working, but I'll be working from home. Which is good because, help watch the kids.
Is that Monday? Yeah, that is Monday, right? Yeah.
Labor Day.
Wait, you got to work on Monday?
Yes.
Oh, do you get, extra
I'll get
time
the fourth off, but I needed to request the fourth off anyway because I'm going to have to pick up my son from school.
Wait, you'll get the fourth off in place of the second?
Yeah.
So essentially, you work that day, you get a floating holiday or something.
Yeah. Comp day.
Okay. Is that something they schedule you for to work that day, or you volunteered to work on that day?
Well, I'm the guy that writes the schedule, and basically everybody else requested it off, so...
Wow, that must have been depressing. Like,
It happens with most holidays.
So you not the boss.
He's writing a schedule. Apparently he is.
Who's to say?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to have like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks off at Christmas time. And I am not working Thanksgiving this year.
I am scheduled off the whole week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, listen, how do you like that, Joe? He's going to rub your face in it. He doesn't work the whole week.
Well, that's fine. It, you know, if I get enough people trained up, because I'm supposed to be getting like 3 new people. So if I get enough people trained up, maybe I can actually take days off.
Yes, but that all depends on if I just stay where I'm at or if I move to another position, which I'm seriously considering.
Now, so that's an interesting thing there, Joe, what you had just said. I'm not focusing on the fact that Joel just said he might want to find a new job.
No, he said new position. That's something else.
Well, okay. Correct. Now, that could be whatever. Well, that still sounds like a new job. Well, maybe not with a new company. Anyway.
It's not. It's just a lateral move.
So, are you in a situation where you don't have enough people that can do your job that you really can't take your vacation time and everything?
You know, I'm actually pretty good about that, making sure people are trained so that I can do things like take vacation. Now, recently we've had 2 of my best trained people that really wanted to do something else, so they both left the team for other teams. And they were some of the people that had been on my team the longest, and, you know, eventually everybody wants to move on. So,
yep.
Am I shorthanded? Yes, I am shorthanded, but it's not as bad as it could be. And then a couple of the people that I have on the team aren't quite as trained as I would like yet. And then a couple of them just I don't know how well they're working out.
Ah, so you're in a transition stage. Like right now you got a little bit of a dip is what you're saying, but usually you're pretty good.
Yeah, and we're also picking up more applications that we're monitoring. And we'll see how that goes. It used to be you could know enough about all of our applications that in a pinch you could monitor everything and anything. And now we're growing to the point where I'm really going to have to start splitting up people into smaller teams to become specialists on specific things that run at specific times. I'm going to have to narrow everybody's focus.
Aye, aye, aye. Well, you never really talked about what you use to monitor stuff, do you? Did you?
You know, I try to avoid a lot of the specifics of what I do at work because of confidentiality. But okay. I guess expressing the tools isn't that big a deal. I mean, it's not really a secret that we use Quartz, but that's a homegrown application.
Okay, so you say that it's no big secret that you use Quartz. Why wouldn't it be? Because it's a homegrown application. Who would know if it's a homegrown application?
Well, with FinTech, there's a whole lot of moving around. So okay. Basically, everybody in FinTech at one time or another has worked for all the major FinTechs.
Okay. So you guys built Quartz yourself?
Well, I didn't use it.
And that does like log aggregation and everything. And when you say monitoring, do you mean like, are we talking like you built out like? When I think of monitoring, when they say, well, we want you to set up monitoring, that's like We've used different applications, but right now, for primarily for monitoring, we use New Relic, and then for log aggregation, we use Sumo Logic. And so the monitoring aspect of it is kind of like Nagios or any other offering like that, where you could go in, systems are registered to it. You could look at infrastructure statistics like CPU utilization, right, and memory utilization over a historical period. And then they also have some like integrations in there with Java and other applications and stuff to gather metrics on your applications.
Think of Quartz, much like Citrix apps. You know, okay, you have one central location, it's all being run from remote, you can pick the application within there and it pops up. We have different applications that we use for monitoring in different ways, but we also, for monitoring, use ITRS, Genios. So the ITRS is good for, okay, quickly take a look, it's red, okay, what broke, and then we'll find what broke, we'll go to Quartz, we'll use Bob Monitor, what it's called, and we'll find a specific job, and we can use that to get directly to the logs and work from there. So Bob is the quickest way to get to the logs for that. Now, other applications use different things, and we have to go to different areas to find the logs. But in order to look at CPUs, GPUs, and what's running, we would use Hugs, which would have all of the different grids and nodes that we have read access to available for us to view, and then we can pick where something is running, usually by using the log information to see where it's running and what its job ID is, and then we find that specific job, and it also has another set of logs of its own.
So ITRS, that's a third-party company?
Yeah, it's Active Console, Genios.
Okay, so is Bob and Hugs, are they internal tools that were built?
Yes, those are a part of Quartz.
Okay. Interesting. What's it all written in? Do you know?
Well, all the scripts that we use and everything is basically written in Python. In some of the applications rely heavily on SQL, but really everything we use is written in Python.
Oh, neat. Cool. Now, do you write applications that you deploy in Quartz?
Yes and no. A distinct no. Now, because I am production support, I am not supposed to write things that go into production. But that's just, you know, the separation of duties. For security reasons, it's better that way. But I'm also the guy that makes the front end for those. I make the icons that actually grab the code and execute something. I do have access to write, but I'm really not supposed to be writing things that I put into production.
So you could write something so long as somebody else puts it in production.
That's the way it's supposed to be separated. But because, right, I have access to push things into production, that's why I'm not supposed to write things and put them in production.
I got it. That makes sense. Interesting. I guess there's not a lot of people that can push into production to begin with, though, too.
For my LOB, it is my team that pushes things into production. And that's supposed to be all the people that have access to our production area. There are some exceptions.
Well, thank you. That's some very interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel, so you're looking to make a lateral move?
Yep, I'll talk about it with you after the show. I don't really want to get into it here, but thinking about it.
So then why'd you bring it up? Come on, we want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Alan's like, what the hell with this? Well, even now.
There's a possibility I could go over permanent to the cloud team. Not what I'm doing with them now, but in their assurance department. So basically, like the ongoing after somebody completes the transition.
Become an insurance agent?
Assurance. Not insurance, yeah. So I'm debating it. I don't think it would be more money, but it might be more regular.
Gateway to
more money?
Gateway to more money?
A gateway to more money might be more like, well, a gateway to continue to be employed, I'll say that. You know, because I foresee like our cloud company is pretty much focusing on the cloud hosting our products with our clients. They would love it if all of our clients moved to the cloud. So, and if that happens, and the on-prem and the stuff I do now in professional services goes away, so it's kind of the future of the company kind of deal is why I'm looking at it. So I don't know. Still thinking. Haven't said yes or not. So at least I know that the people approached me. It was one of my old teammates is working in that area now. So I know his manager's manager. I know real well too because I used to work. She used to work and as a PM. On our side. So, anyway, we'll see.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Dan, that way down yonder, they're doing a seafood boil Saturday. I'm so tempted to do it.
You should go.
$35 and a half. Let's see, you get half pound of bull shrimp, potatoes, corn on the cob, turkey necks, half pound of blue crabs, snow crabs. Oh, snow crabs are an additional $10. And then, yeah, basically, you know, I'm sure there's probably some crawfish and stuff like that mixed in there. But I don't know. It is Labor Day weekend, too, so.
I've never been disappointed by a good old seafood boil. I like crab boil myself.
Oh, yeah.
Or steam. Bam. Ugh. I'd say go for it. You don't get much of an opportunity to do that out in Ohio.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Unless you're getting freshwater stuff.
It's God, 35 geez. Bucks, though, so I'm not so sure. There's crawfish, too. Oh, I'd be the only one that would want it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think your wife likes fish, does she?
Not too much. Now, when I was up in Kelly's last weekend, there's a place called West Bay Inn, which is on the west side of the island. Now, we didn't go at sunset, but they actually do like specials at sunset because it's the only bar / restaurant on the island that you can see the sunset from. So we went during the day, like about 2-3 o'clock, and I had me some walleye, which was delicious.
I have never seen walleye on a menu anywhere. I've never caught one. So
it would be there because pretty much a guarantee that walleye probably came from Lake Erie.
Well, yeah, I would think so. I mean, I like you said,
because it's
never
a freshwater fish.
Yeah, I've never seen walleye available anywhere.
It was huge, too, man. Each piece was, like, about, I don't know, between 8 to 10 inches long. It was huge.
Nice.
And then it was served on top of a bed of French fries, which I only ended up eating maybe not even 3/4 of, not even a quarter of, probably, because there was just so many fries. They were good. I was full, man. The fish filled me up. I had to have fish there because it's just, I'm like, you know, that's that kind of stuff. Like, the family just, you know, I could buy it and make it at home, but I'd be the only one that eats it. It's like, huh.
Was it fried walleye?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Fried over.
Not battered. It was breaded. and fried. But
okay.
So it's pretty good. But that's the only meal that I didn't cook. The rest of the time, I did like some stuff on a fire. Like we got there. I wanted to go after I got the tent and all that up on Friday. I wanted to go out to eat, but Luke insisted that we had hot dogs and stuff on the fire. So I'm like, okay. It worked out. The only downside is the if you forgot anything, and I did. When I got there, I realized, oh, I forgot like butter, and what else did I forget? Yeah, I had to give a butter bath to some things, butter and some other things. I had forgotten. Oh, and I forgot potatoes at home. But I changed up breakfast on Saturday. And it was so freaking windy. Like Friday night and into Saturday morning, it was so windy. Just fixing breakfast, I used one whole entire cylinder of propane. I mean, it was so windy. But that's why I ended up not cooking at the campsite for lunch that day. But it was fun. Everyone had fun. I was tired, but it was a good kind of tired. You know, camp is a lot of work, but I'd rather do that than, you know, a lot of work doing camping, a lot of physical work, but I'd rather do that physical work than have a whole day at work, if you know what I mean.
Bye. Hey.
It's like when you go fishing, kayaking in the, you know, and fishing at the same time there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So you your whole family had a good time in this.
Yep. No rain, thank God. Didn't rain until Monday. We got home and it rained all day. Makes me glad we left Sunday. I'll say this is my first chance to drive onto a ferry. And the first time they have like three or four different ferries they use, and the first time I had one that I'd been on. I think it's actually one I've been on before, when I was there last year. It's basically just a flat deck with one side had a wheelhouse on it where the pilot would sit, and you could actually get out if you can get out. Now I was part right next to the wheelhouse, and I couldn't get the door open wide enough, so I just sat in the car. And on the way back though, they put it on another one that actually had like a deck above the main car deck, and like in the tower. And one side was like wide enough for two cars to go through, the other side wide enough for one car to go through. And of course, that's the side I had to go through. So, but I was right at the front of the ferry though. So, and you can see probably one of the neatest thing is riding a ferry is, especially on the way back, you can see there is a pretty major amusement park up in that area called Cedar Point. Many, yes. many roller coasters, and you could actually see that as you're coming across the lake.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So one of these days, I need to head on over there and take Luke there. But I don't know. The thing I don't like about going to amusement parks and stuff like that is mostly the people, man. And not, you know, it's not that I hate people. It's just like when you get a whole crowd of people together, it's just I don't enjoy it anymore. Not like I used to. You know what I mean, man? It just pisses you off.
Amusement parks.
Not to mention the fact you go and eat, like they'll have amusement park nowadays, they'll have a Chick-fil-A in the amusement park, and you'll go in and you'll get the stuff you normally get, and instead of about $20 or $30, you're spending like $60 for Chick-fil-A. It's like, screw that shit.
Overpriced Chick-fil-A, boo.
Or Popeyes or whatever. But I hear Popeye sold out of their chicken sandwich, and I never got to try it. I want to go wait in that line.
You don't have to try it, because the Wolf Pit tried it for you.
I know. I watched it. It was a good video.
Yeah, but I don't have an interest in... You know, I do like Popeye's chicken, but it's just a chicken breast sandwich.
I know, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's not that different. you know.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sure it's probably a great sandwich, but, you know, chicken breast sandwiches generally are good.
Yeah, good on them for selling out, right?
I know, right?
Joe didn't get one. Because...
This is true. I did not get one. Although we did have a potluck today. And
uh-oh. Joe cheated.
Yeah, a lot.
Oh.
Good, though.
It's like everybody freaks out and says, oh, Chick-fil-A waffle fries are so good. You know what? That's actually one of the things at Chick-fil-A. I really... No, they're just okay. They're not... You know what I mean?
I love their waffle fries. I will say I love me a good waffle fry. I don't know. I just love it.
I kind of prefer more like the style that Five Guys will do, or if you ever had Rally's. They have a seasoned french fry, and those are really delicious. When I eat french fries, it's actually a big deal nowadays because I haven't been eating them as much, and which is a good thing, but... So it better be a good fry. And waffle, they're okay. It's a good carrier for Chick-fil-A sauce or ketchup.
You talk about something Linuxy.
Yeah.
Did you see? I'm trying to pull up the link to it. Wait, where did I see it? Oh, man. So there's a new version of... Enlightenment out.
Oh crap, there is?
Yes. I was reading the article.
Does it suck less?
I don't think it ever sucked. So let me get up. Let me go to the Enlightenment.
Well, it just depends on what your definition is. Oh, yeah, DR22. Holy crap.
Yeah. Enlightenment 23 are out. So, if I don't think it's in the latest Ubuntu yet, I think there might be a I think I've read something about a PPA, but yeah, I'm glad to see it's still going strong. I wonder if it's
I like the DR17 or 16 it was. That's about when I really liked it. 19 and above were okay. They're just, I don't know. It's just, I think my biggest problems were just them replacing so much other stuff that others have done, you know. But more power to them. You know, it seems like nowadays, like at least with any, even other OSs other than Linux, that doing neat looking interfaces, and providing like a nice theming engine isn't as, you know, nowadays everyone freaks out over the dark theme on Android or something like that. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I'm trying to see when they actually released it.
August 24th.
Okay, so it was
Saturday.
So it was August 24th. Because the one in Fedora, like the one that's available in Fedora, is 0.22 right now, which makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be the bleeding edge just yet. I wonder when that version was released. So, 22.4. Wait. Oh my goodness. What? Oh no, that's EFL. Oh. I gotta look on their download page. Maybe it tells me. It's hard to find what version.
What, how to install it?
No. I was just trying to find like what inversion of Enlightenment. Like what are their, what's their releases? Like what is?
Oh, you mean what's in the repository?
Right. So like 0.23 is of Enlightenment is their latest release, right? But why am I thinking that? Yeah, so 0.22, I guess that is, I don't know what, like how many releases in the 0.22 branch they had. Anyway, 0.22.4, which is one release, is what's in Fedora right now. And what is it? App search. So one thing so app search and light, there's too much crap in the Ubuntu repository. Anyway, I'm not gonna bother looking up, but Enlightenment Window Manager's release. Hooray! I think we looked up Window Maker a little while ago. And they haven't had a release in a little while, right? 2017 was the latest release. What was the one that we were surprised it just had a release?
It was FEWM95.
I don't think it was Fluxbox, was it? Read the news file for the current version of Fluxbox is 1.3.7. I don't even see a date on that. That's probably. Source Tarball can be found on their SourceForge page, 2015, I think. I don't know. Or was it FVWM?
Possibly.
I know XFCE has a new release coming out soon. It's not FVWM. It was something like right on the front page. Like, I was really surprised that we looked at it a few weeks ago, and they were like, new release! What was it, Alan?
I have no clue. I wasn't on a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't Ice Window Manager, was it?
Sawfish.
Oh, it was! It was Ice? No way! It had to be Ice, but this is even better. The latest release of Ice Window Manager, 1.6.1, was given to the community as a gift on August 22nd, 2019. That was, what, 6 days ago? Wow. That, my friends, is the pinnacle of desktop development. I wonder what
version. When was the last release for Awesome?
Whoa. Fedora's release of Ice Window Manager is 1.3.8. They are how... Holy mackerel, how far behind are they? Wow. That's too old, Fedora. Get it out of here.
I wonder what it is under Ubuntu. I
wonder if it'll tell me. Oh my god, come on. There's way too much software. Okay. So 1.4.3.
Saw that.
You know what? Why, Alan, why did I bother? I should have just looked right here in Arch.
Well, it says everything, huh?
Oh, it'll be there you are already.
So Ice Window Manager. Well, they're at 1.5.5, so I guess they're not up to date yet. I expect that to be any time now. I'm gonna check their package list. That maybe I didn't update. I just find 1.6.11 is in the extra repo. Wait, so I gotta do a. What would I have to do? Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, say something, Joel.
Something. There's no there's no PPA for ET3 yet.
Okay, yeah. 1.6.1 is in Arch.
But E22 is...
.22.4 is the Enlightenment version that's available right now in Arch Linux, which is, I believe, the same version that is in Fedora, which means that that's been around for a while, so I expect that we'll see Enlightenment very soon. I don't see it listed.
Well, we're seeing here, September this weekend, so we're about a month out from Ubuntu 19.10. So Enlightenment might get an update by then, I don't know. Doesn't matter, I don't really care. Along the same lines, though, from that time period when there was just so much desktop development with Linux, do you guys remember it was before podcasts were called podcasts, but there was a show...
back when we started?
Yeah. There was a show called Geeks in Space done by the creators of Slashdot. It's actually back, and they're on YouTube now. They record twice a week with Rob Malda. Every once in a while, Jeff Bates will also be on there, and Chris DeBona, and Nate Ostendorp. Original Slashdot people.
I do not remember that at all.
Oh, wow. That was from back in 1999. Woohoo! All that means is we're freaking old. But used to be on a website by the name of The Sync that also happened to host the Jenny Show, which was by Jenny Cam at the time. Jennifer
Ringley. What was the name of the show again?
The Jenny Show.
No, before that.
Oh, the other one, Geeks in Space. Really, not all that much different than our show. Except they have a little bit more preparation. But, but that was before there was this thing called RSS feeds for distributing audio, otherwise known as a podcast.
Are there shows available, like the old shows available online?
They might be on archive.org.
Okay.
Flashdot has an archive of them.
No, there you go. Considering none of them actually work for Slashdot anymore, I think Jeff Bates is at Google as well as Chris DeVona.
Next thing, he's got to bring back the Linux show. Remember that?
Yeah.
They won't want our help.
$40,000 a year phone bill.
Yeah, whatever happens. That. Like, I know we've talked with Russ over the years, but whatever happened to all the other ones? I wonder if the website is still up.
Yes, I was correct. The original Geeks in Space episodes are up on archive.org. Yeah, I remember listening to them as around the time of the 2000 election, the whole thing with Al Gore and the Dimple Chads and all that crap.
BinRev used to have, what, no, wait, it was Hacker Public, no. What was the site? I don't think it was Hacker Public Radio. There was another site. They used to have a whole bunch of those links, like 2600, BinRev. I think Stank Dog ran it. It wasn't Binary Revolution. Well,
see, and those are the what Greybeard also pasted that link in there for Geeks in Space. So those are the original 36 episodes, which were all there were. And now if you look at the YouTube feed, though, it doesn't pick up at episode 37. It picks up, like, well after that. So I wonder whatever happened to all the stuff between the, these were the ones that I remember being hosted on the sync. And, but these were, like, at the actual birth. I mean, these shows that are on archive.org was when Slashdot was brand new. And they had Potter was, John Cowboy Neil Potter was also there, too. Who's the perennial, always the, well, he's always one of the options on one of their polls, I think. Now I never go to Slashdot anymore. Does anybody?
I read it during lunchtime, but there's not really much on there. It's just something I've been doing for so long.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the stuff, you know, if you have any other kind of, you know, feeds, most of the stuff that's on there has already been on somebody else's feed.
Or over Twitter or something. Yeah,
Twitter, you know, if you go to, like, Boing Boing or, you know, Engadget or anything like that, most of the stuff's already on there. So it's basically just, you know, watching a lot of people complain about shit.
That's Twitter.
Well, it's also Slashdot, too.
Yeah. I remember when it was a big deal about your user number and then your karma level. Nah, I don't give a fuck.
You know, I have an account on Slashdot, but I couldn't for the life of you tell you what
I
it was.
I do, too. I was Chance
from underscore years and years and years ago, but like I said, I don't think I ever really even logged into it. Maybe once or twice. Because for me, there wasn't that much difference from just, like, you know, going to the homepage and just scanning through stuff, you know. Maybe it's changed by now, but, like, for me, I don't really care. It's one of the things I read while I read another, you know, 26 comics at the same time. So, yeah.
I can't remember the last time I went to Slashdot.
You're not missing a whole lot anymore.
No.
I'll tell you what, I just went to Slashdot right now! Wow.
So did I, and it didn't look exciting whatsoever.
TV manufacturers unite to tackle the scourge of motion smoothing.
Yeah, it's really easy. Just turn it off in your settings if you don't like it.
That's right.
Wow.
Google to shift Pixel smartphone production from China to Vietnam.
Probably cheaper.
I think one of the threads I remember the most from, like, the early days of Slashdot was the one they did, I think it's from the Hellmouth, I think, after the the shooting in was it Colorado, I think, where was it? Littleton, I think. I can't remember.
What was that? I got lost in some of the headlines.
There was a story they did right after one of the shootings, and one of the first mass shooting things was in Colorado. I think it was from the Hellmouth, I thought.
On Slashdot?
Yeah, this is back in like the late 90s.
I do not remember that. You know what, Joe? If you go to hackermedia.org, it's a snapshot back on June 13, 2016. But if you roll back a couple days to June 9, 2016, wait, no, June 8, 2016, of episode 662 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Do you know, Joe, what we talked about that day?
No clue.
You and I talked about Shep and Locust and video and phone woes, and you visited me. So I think that was the day you were here doing a show from my basement.
One of the 2 days.
Yeah, I think so. That was on June 8th, 2016. Good stuff. Long time ago. And also, I noticed as I was scrolling back in the list to see, like, what was the other show that is listed on here. And I think it's what? Whoa. Now I gotta find it again.
The actual post about the Littleton, Colorado shooting was called Voices from the Hellmouth, and it basically talks about, like, because the two guys that did that shooting were very much like a lot of us were when, you know, when we were growing up, into computers and video games and whatnot, and not to use it as a justification, of course, for the shooting, because that would be a very poor justification, but just that how geeks are affected by some of the stuff that these guys went through prior to them making that decision, you know.
What was the name of the movie?
It was a original Slashdot post, was Voices from the Hellmouth, posted by John Katz on Monday, April 26, 1999. 20 years ago, Jesus.
Well, on Wednesday, June 1st, 2016, we talked to Todd from Purism.
I remember that day.
Librem and Pure OS. 661. And we haven't heard from him since, have we?
Probably not.
We should have him back on and talk about what the heck's going on.
But Slashdot, man, back in those were the days of Slashdot. You know, back when getting Slashdot dotted was a thing, you know, and
Yes, I remember that.
Were we ever Slashdotted?
A few times.
Yes. I bet you we were Slashdotted when we had RMS on.
Didn't we also have Patrick Volkerdig on too?
I
think that was one of the big ones too. Oh yeah.
I just remember him and Link going back and forth.
Oh my goodness.
But then you got like some of the guys, you know where they are at, but I think Potter actually lives in Columbus, Cowboy Neil. I think he actually works for Chase, if I remember right. I was doing just Google searching people, and I think I found his LinkedIn profile. And then, of course, Rob Limo Miller, I think he passed away like last year, if I remember right.
I think so.
All the original Slashdot authors. Microsoft readies XFAT patents for Linux and open source. That's actually a big deal.
What's that? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Microsoft readies XFAT patents for Linux and open source. That was on Slashdot.
Right now?
Yeah, it was on the front page. little bit down, though. It says, for use, Microsoft used patents as a way to profit from open source products. Personal child for Microsoft's intellectual property aggression were the file allocation table patents. But that's the Microsoft of then and not the Microsoft of now. The first Microsoft open sourced its entire patent portfolio. Now Microsoft explicitly is making its last remaining FAT intellectual property, the XFAT patents, available to Linux and open source via the Open Invention Network, OIN. Microsoft announced that it now loves Linux, and we say that a lot, and we mean it. Today we are pleased to announce that Microsoft is supporting the addition of Microsoft's XFAT technology to the Linux kernel. XFAT is based on FAT, one of the first floppy disk systems. Over time, FAT became Microsoft's file system of choice for MS-DOS and Windows, become the default file system for many applications. Microsoft extended FAT to flash memory storage devices such as USB, SD cards in 2006 with XFAT. While FAT isn't commonly used today, XFAT is used in hundreds of millions of storage devices. XFAT is the official file system for the SD Card Association standard large capacity SD cards. So that actually is a good thing. Maybe it might mean that future versions of Android may be able to read XFAT formatted drives. Because right now, that's actually my biggest problem, is trying to read those things. I can connect a drive to my phone with USB-C, but I cannot read it on an Android device.
I'm surprised you can't buy like a driver for Android that gives support for XFAT.
I wonder if you could. I'll have to look. That'd be something I actually would pay for. Because one of the things I would love to use it for is like when I was on Kelly's, if I wanted to read XFAT like cards, I basically had to have a Windows system with me at that time. So I took my Surface with me. But I'd love to just have just my phone and just use that to offload pictures off of my camera and off my drone and stuff. Although, I actually had to switch my phone back to Android 9 because what I found was DJI's app did not like Android 10. It actually would crash. Every time I tried to open an app, it would just crash. So I never could connect to the drone, and I didn't fly any of my drone on Kelly's Island, unfortunately.
I need to send mine to get fixed.
Because you should.
You know what pissed me off? I was cleaning up some paperwork, and I totally forgot when I bought that, I bought an insurance plan on it in case it crashed.
Oh!
Completely forgot about it. I'm going through
and now
paperwork.
It's expired.
Dude, it expired like a month and a half ago. I've had the thing sitting on the floor for like a year now.
You probably could have walked into the store and walked out with either a brand new one or maybe even one of the newer Mavics.
Well, what I'm thinking of is, you know, there's still rumors of that small new one that they're coming out with.
Yeah.
They're doing like a little tinier one. And if the price point is better, because I really can't afford, you know, dropping $1,000 on a drone right now. As much as I would love to. It's just really not the smart thing to
right.
do. So, you know, I would love to get mine fixed, but, you know, I figure it's going to cost me a couple $100 for that. So maybe I'll just, you know, buy a smaller one. If I get one for, like, you know, $500 or $600, I can probably save for that without too much of an issue. But, like, you know, $1,200 for buying a new one, that's, you know. And,
yep.
You know, the amount I use it for, it's really just sort of a waste of money.
Right, right.
You know, but like you said, I don't use it a whole lot because mine is huge.
Right.
You know, yours is very small. You can throw it in a backpack. It's good to go.
Oh, that's right. You got a Phantom 3, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, DJI actually did have a significant release here in the last few weeks. They released their Osmo Mobile 3.
Yeah, I saw that. I have the two.
I do too. So, I actually kind of would like the three because it looks like it's a little bit more compact.
It is smaller.
Yeah.
From what I've seen on it.
But see, I'm debating between that and the Pocket, because the Pocket's even more compact than that.
I have the Pocket.
Oh, you do?
Which is very nice. Yeah, those pictures I posted of the car show were shot with that.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, I did some cropping and I popped some of the colors a little bit, but those were all shot with that.
Now, they also have, if you're a GoPro kind of person, which I kind of am, but not because I do action just because I like the cameras, but they also brought out the Osmo Action, which is basically a GoPro-style device.
Yeah.
So that's a relatively new thing. I don't think they released a new drone right now.
No, not yet. I keep seeing people were popping up about, you know, a new drone coming out. So
right.
Maybe we'll see.
So I had to backspin the Android 9, and I'm hesitant to want to upgrade. I guess the Android 10 is supposed to be out next week for Pixel phones. And I'm hesitant to want to upgrade it because I'm shooting my friend's daughter's getting married a week from Saturday. And since I'm not charging her anything to take pictures for her wedding, I'm doing that as a gift to the happy couple. And since I'm not getting paid, I legally can fly the drone during the wedding. Well, I'm not going to fly it during the actual ceremony, but I think I'm going to use it for some post shots. So I think I'm going to do that. But because of that, I needed to make sure my phone was working well with the drone. So now I might hold off doing the 10 upgrade until after that, unless... I may do that unless I find out. Because the last time, last year, when Pi came out, it worked fine on Pi, but you had to actually delete the app and reinstall it after the upgrade. So maybe that might happen. I'm hesitant to want to do that going into this week. So when it comes out, I'll add this that was the only app I ever had a problem with, and that actually is a regular problem DJI has on Android specifically. So hopefully they fix that soon. But other than that, it's been fine, and I've been beta testing iPad OS 13 on my iPad, and it's been good too. So. But it's like nowadays, OS updates aren't as big a deal as it used to be on Android. I will say this, though. I do like the gestures they have in Android 10. So probably sometime, I think in November time frame, I'm probably going to upgrade to the Pixel 4 if it releases by then.
That's cool.
Mostly because I want the better camera.
I love the camera on the Pixel that I have.
And now my son's Galaxy S10 5G had to get fixed already. He cracked the screen on it. So I have Verizon's Total Protection because I'm smart, because I don't... You know, if something like that happens, I don't want to have to be, you know, to buy a whole new phone at that point. You know, the whole $1,000. So it's like $200 to replace it. But within the last couple of years, they actually added a different service as part of that. If it's a screen, in his case, that's all it was. The rest of the phone, because it just hit just right. Right. For $29, and if he does it again, they'll do it again. But Shurion will send someone out, and they actually send them to your house and fix it.
That's now, cool.
Just it's not right away. And in some areas, if Shurion has a facility local to you, you can just go right there, and they'll fix it there on the spot for you. But in our case, Columbus doesn't have one, so they had a guy come to the house on my kitchen table, or my table. He tore my son's phone apart, put a new screen on it, and And I didn't know it, and he didn't tell me until after he did it the first time. That was the first S10 5G he ever did. So thankfully it worked just fine. But so $30, not bad. And my son was pissed off that we had to wait 4 days, because that was the earliest I can get it done. He had to wait. It happened like on a Sunday, but he had to wait till like Thursday before we went to Kelly's. So
still $30 ain't bad.
No. Well, and Luke's like, well, can't you just get a screen on Amazon and you fix it? I'm like, first off, I'm not going to do that when I pay for the insurance. And second off, here's the screen. The part probably cost about $200, I'm guessing. And on that, it was kind of interesting with the S10 5G, since that also has the integrated fingerprint reader. It's integrated into the screen. I'm betting it also replaced the fingerprint sensor and a good chunk of the frame too. It looked like it, because it looked like it pulled off like a frame and basically all pieces of the screen, the digitizer and the LCD itself. So it looked like it replaced quite a bit more than just the screen. But modern phones, man, I'd be scared to open up a $1,300 device.
Well, if you're working for a company, it's not quite as bad, because you lose your job out of the deal. But yeah.
Now I will say this: they did have me sign something before he started work that says that it's possible it might break other things when he did it, but it was no problems. It just worked fine. Okay. I'm like, okay. I have played around with Luke's phone a little bit, though. The fingerprint reader, I was skeptical, and it is weird the first time you try using it, with it being integrated in the screen. But it becomes natural after a period of time. That makes me wonder, too, what the Pixel 4, all the screens, the spy shots of the Pixel 4 I've seen, looks like they got rid of the fingerprint reader on the back. So I don't know if they're doing that, what Samsung has done, or if they're going to do, I think they're doing facial recognition again, I think. Because there was another article where I guess now you can capture your face in preparation for some of the new Nest Hubs had the facial recognition built into it.
I refuse to use any fingerprint recognition or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. A lot of these people are freaking out over that. And it's like, it's completely voluntary. So if you don't want to send Google your face, you don't have to. You can use the pattern or you can use the PIN number like you've always used. So quit your grouching. And let the plebs test it out if they want to. So. I'm not elitist, am I?
Yeah, anyway. I just don't like any of that facial stuff, the facial resolution or recognition, well, excuse me.
I don't mind having, like, the speakers, or, like, I had the home hub, the original home hub. But I won't buy the ones with the cameras in. I don't want cameras facing in my house on all the time. I might buy ring.
I got rid of the Nest camera, because that was just too, right. You know, for what I was using for, it wasn't worth the money, you know, right. The $10 a month that it was costing me. I do have an Amazon camera. I have two Amazon cameras right now. We still have for Shaw's room.
Right. I'd like the one, I probably won't do the Ring, but I would do the Nest doorbell. Any cameras pointing outside, I don't have a problem with. In my house, you know, I don't want that. You know, guard my perimeter. I want to guard the perimeter real well, and then once again in my house, you know, eventually I'll be the way Pat is. Be armed.
Yeah. I said, I don't, I'm not too worried about outside. I mean, well, I just shouldn't say that. I do want to get an outside camera. It's just, even, the, is it the ring? Is the ring the other one I was looking at?
Yeah, the ring doorbell, yeah. Ring has cameras too.
Well, no, yeah, I was looking at the cameras because unfortunately my house is old, and right. I don't want a doorbell that I have to replace the batteries, or the batteries charged.
Well, see, in a lot of those.
Well, they last for a couple of weeks, and they have interchangeable batteries and stuff. But you have to remember to do it. And the problem is when your house is going to get broken into, is when you're going to forgotten that the battery was needed to be changed, or that you didn't change it.
I have to look into it, but I thought some of them would charge off the doorbell circuit.
Yeah, but like I said, the problem is my doorbell is an old one, so it's just basically two wires.
Oh, well, so is mine. So,
I think at that point you can't. There's no charging there because that's just you're opening and closing a circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no charging there.
Yeah, I know. With the ring, I do have to put a transformer in the actual doorbell itself. And the only reason you have to do that is so that when you press the button on the ring, it'll also ring your inside doorbell too, instead of just ringing the phones. So, what were you going to say, Joe?
Yeah, you should be able to charge from there, but
I would think, yeah.
I know the voltage is weird.
It is. It's probably one of the weirder voltages in your house. Because I've replaced the doorbell button before, so that's no big deal. You don't even have to turn the breaker off.
Well, it's low voltage, that's why.
Yep. I mainly wanted just to monitor the packages and stuff from Amazon. I only ever had one pilfered off my porch. And only one. That's how I got a second Echo Dot. Because the first one got stolen off the porch. Well, I thought it did. Okay. So they sent a second one out, and the second one came, and then 3 days after the second one came, the first one finally came. So it never was really stolen off the porch, but I thought it was. So, and nowadays Amazon is really, I don't remember the last thing I ordered off of Amazon that was a Prime product. I don't remember the last time I ordered anything off of Prime that didn't come via an Amazon truck.
Almost everything is postal service. At least around here.
Well, yeah, but you live in kind of Timbuktu compared to Columbus, though. I wouldn't call it BFE, but...
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah. But, and I'm not the one to want to have to, I mean, setting up the cameras and stuff like Rich did, that might be something I might do, but it's just, that's what I do every day for work is set up servers and stuff, and that's the last thing I want to do when I get off of work.
Well, I would like to have something that I didn't have to go out to somebody else's, to the cloud to go do.
Right, right.
But at that point, it's all you're rolling your own solution. And I was thinking of just doing it because I've got a Raspberry Pi camera floating around here. But I still have to try to find a waterproof waterproof enclosure for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then dig up some way of keeping the battery charged because, it'll be mounted outside. And by that point, I'm I've just spent what I probably could have just bought the damn thing for a year and been done
right. Right. Yeah, I finally got a Prime for my camera, Prime lens.
Yeah, how'd that work? I remember you saying that.
Pretty well. About the only kind of complaint I have with it is my Nikon lenses, when I bring the raw files into Lightroom, which is what I use. I use Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom, just because of... why not? You know, I'm paying for Creative Cloud mostly for Premiere, but when you go to do the lens corrections in Lightroom, it doesn't pick up the prime lens. It basically doesn't know what it is. Now, the profile's listed, so I just have to go and select it.
I just say you have to select it at that point.
Yep.
I used to have to do that with my camera, period.
Right.
With either lens.
Right.
So it's not just one lens. I think that's by default. It always makes you change.
Mm-hmm. But like my Nikons, like one, my telephoto or my 18-255, those ones, Lightroom picks up every time. You know, so it automatically when I click those two, really all I have to do those corrections is click the two boxes and that's it, and it does it. So, which is very nice to do because it takes out any of the chromatic aberrations and other things that those lenses are known for in their profiles. So, but other than that, I'm very satisfied. I love the depth of field on it. I mean, if you look on the post of my Kelly's Island shots, I took one of Misty sitting at the picnic table while we were watching Luke fish, and she's the only thing that's in focus. Everything else behind her is all out of focus. It's beautiful. A beautiful shot. I love that shot.
Spoka.
Yes. That's one of the big reasons I bought that. That and the low light on it is pretty damn good, too. Although I didn't shoot any pictures at night at the campfire of it. But the problem is it, along about 5, 6 o'clock, Luke wanted me to start the campfire. I'm like, it's too soon to do it. But he kept bugging me until I did it. So, and both nights I had, before 9 o'clock, the fire was gone.
And now you're sitting in the dark, kid.
Yeah, well, no, he was already tired. He was in bed at that point.
Like, damn, now we're sitting in the dark.
The new tent worked out pretty well, and we got one of those Intex mattresses, and the first night wasn't very good, I think what happened was my side of that mattress was on in a dip or something, but I'm sitting here practically holding on for dear life, trying not to fall out of the bed. So we the next night I said I gotta fix this. So I kind of flipped the direction. So mostly because Misty's the one who put it where it was the first night, and she basically had it so that there's only one side you can get out of. I oriented it so that we each had a little space on either side so that if we had to take a whiz or something, we can get up and not disturb the other. And that must have moved my side out of the dip. And we both slept very comfortably that night. So, if you're going camping with your significant other and you're buying sleeping bags, get rectangle ones that are the same, and they'll zip together, and you have a double size bag, and there that you helps go. You stay warm. It helps you stay much warmer than just your
and
regular.
And then two people can enjoy your farts.
That's every day anyway.
Built-in heating system, right there.
And then since I'm on metformin and it makes me fart. That's my side effect. And I'm hoping by the time I'm through my first 90 days with it that I don't need it anymore, because he wants to do blood work at the end to see if it's helped. But I don't know. I am losing weight. I probably lost about 10 pounds since I started it, so.
Good for you, sir. Good for you.
About.
where did you start for 10 pounds?
Metformin.
Okay.
Yeah, my A1C is like 0.1 over the limit for diabetes. So if you look at some websites, it'll say that's diabetic, the A1C. But then some others will say that you should that it would be two successive blood tests with A1C over 6.5 is considered diabetic. So, you know, all I know is I don't want to do that. I watched my grandfather go through that. So whenever if it ends up I have it. I want to do what I can to get off of it and to keep it in check for sure. But my grandpa. His was slightly out of control, as in they didn't know he had it until he put himself in the hospital. And not because of that, but because he was also a raging alcoholic and we didn't know it until he fell down the stairs and smashed his head against the steel support in the house and put himself in a coma. What a way to find out your grandfather's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It was 1987. I remember it was 1987 because Star Trek The Next Generation came out in 1987. So, and I remember watching it in the waiting room because at that point they wouldn't let us up to go see him. At least not all together because I think he was in ICU. So when Mom was up seeing him, we were in the waiting room doing homework. And I had put that on the TV since I had they had the room in the waiting room at the time. I remember watching the first episode in Milton Hershey Med Center in Hershey. That's where they took him. At that time they lived in Palmyra. So, but. That's, you know, don't mess around with that, folks. You can still eat. In fact, I actually eat a lot of the stuff I enjoy the most. Meat, cheese. That stuff's all fine. It's all the stupid donuts and bread and crap that you shouldn't eat.
Processed foods.
Everything in moderation.
I did try making a. I got some of that the spiralized zucchini and used that as a substitute for pasta. I liked it. My wife was not so much.
What were you saying, Joe?
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. That's what Joe said.
Except heroin.
Except heroin and meth.
If you're not doing it Motley Crue, you're not.
It's not even worth it. Meth, not even once.
Not once, but three times?
Not even once.
So does this qualify us for like a PSA at this point now?
Uh-huh.
Alan says meth every day, right, Alan?
Me, no. I got enough problems. I don't need to have shit like that.
Yeah.
It's always wild when you find a school teacher gets busted for meth.
Meth.
There was a school teacher that I worked with a couple years later, found out he got busted for. He wasn't selling it in school, but he was making it and selling it out of his house or something like that.
The regular Walter White. Yeah. Did he have a Pontiac Aztec?
I have no idea. He's kind of a dick, but what are you gonna do? Laugh when he goes to jail?
Yeah. I guess.
Everyone thought the Aztec was ugly, but I actually kind of wouldn't mind having one if I found one in decent shape.
Yeah, it's still ugly.
Right, but it's useful ugly.
Only if you get the tent option with it.
I thought that was on every one of them, I thought. I know some of the
stuff. No, I think that was an option.
Yeah, like it had a cooler for an armrest. Actually, this is not a bad idea either. But yeah, the design was definitely not for everyone. I didn't mind it, but then, you know, I also like the Toyota FJ Cruiser. That's another one. If I found a used one in good shape, I wouldn't mind having.
Yeah, those are okay.
Not the original one, but the
newer
one. The newer one, right? My wife always said that thing's ugly, and I'm like, yeah, that's why I like it.
Is so ugly.
So ugly, it's cool. Just like the same reason why I always like the Hummers.
Only the H1s.
Yes. The twos and threes were kind of stupid. And specifically, I like the wagon version.
Yeah. I think either one of them, though, personally.
Yeah, with the split doors in the back. That'd be like my ham radio mobile. I actually, the center console was so large, you could probably put like a ICOM 7600 in there.
you can put your whole thing in there. Your whole Easy. Snack in there.
Get a screwdriver antenna.
You find one of the military versions that actually has the giant antenna already on it.
That's an idea. Yeah, one of my favorite YouTube car-oriented channels is Hoovy's Garage. You ever watch that?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, he found the Ford Raptor for $7,000 that was originally a Border Patrol truck.
Because they need a Raptor out there for Border Patrol.
That's what I was thinking. Why would they need a Raptor?
Because that was somebody's high up truck. They just bought it anyways.
Yeah, that's probably right. Because I'm thinking, aren't they buying like Toyota Tundras or something like that?
Well, it should be. Yeah, I hardly think. Although, who knows? That should be in like our. You know, as a fleet vehicle there.
Well, they don't make the Hummers anymore, not even the military version. I don't know what they replaced it with, though.
They do have a new version of it, but yeah, I don't think it's, you can't, civilian-wise, you can't get it. We need Arnold to help us out for that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember, but the original Willys Jeep, which is just now Jeep, was a military vehicle, so.
Well, yeah, the only reason they got it is because everybody was coming back when they came back from the war. They all wanted that vehicle because they were used to driving it.
Yep.
Demand. And
the Jeep was originally made in Toledo. It was made in Ohio. That's where Willys was based in. Actually, I think it still is, if I remember right. The Renegade might, or the Rubicon might.
Oh, I don't know.
Actually, wouldn't mind having one of the Grumman mail trucks.
No, just go to one of the Cub auctions. There's a couple of websites that just do nothing but government auctions. Get those things cheap.
The replacement for the Humvee is the JLTV, or the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, which it doesn't look very light to me.
Well, that's because it's the one they have the armor on.
What'd you say, Joe?
It's light compared to a deuce and a half.
Well, yeah, true. But considering that they designed this for the age of protecting from IEDs and stuff like that. So it's quite a bit more armored.
But by the time it makes it out to the field as a regular thing, all that armor will come off. Because we have to save money.
Damn, the thing is badass, so. See ya. Sounds like Alan's a pumpkin.
Yep, I'm a pumpkin now. Great talking with y'all. Thanks for listening.
As always,
we gotta close it up ourselves. Have a good night, Alan.
All right, good night, everybody.
Ugh. It seems like we should be talking about Ohio Linux Fest, but dude, it's like not till November this year.
Oh, is that late?
Yeah, it's like November 1st and 2nd.
Really? I thought it was in why did I think it was early October? Damn. Well, we got plenty of time then, right? Yeah.
I should email Beth Lynn and have her on.
There you go.
Yep, November 1st and 2nd at the Hyatt Regency in Columbus, Ohio. And I'd like to say that there's something really exciting down there, and I don't know. I have to ask. I have a friend at my church that works down there. She actually is the operations manager for the convention center.
Okay.
So she knows that area really well. So I should ask her what new stuff people should check out when they're down there. Because I don't go down there anymore. It's that whole antisocial thing I like to maintain nowadays. I mean, the North Market is a given.
Right, you're right. All right, Joel, I got to play our promos out.
Figure that out.
See you later, Joe. Here we go. Guys. Hope you feel better. And here are your promos. Oh, have a happy Labor Day.
Indeed.
Here are your promos.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Linux.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Boom!
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
Might have to
ramen
check out
bar.
The ramen bar. Yeah.
Well, the name sounds good. Let me take a look at it and.
Ramen is good, especially good ramen.
I love ramen. I love ramen. Yes, I do. Looks interesting.
Yeah, I think that place. I think it was there last year, but I don't remember. Wasn't that many people here to hang out with, so I just went over there and grabbed something. I think I had Hot Chicken Takeover last year. Which is also good. There's a Mexican place in there now, too. Dos Hermanos. Oh, no way! Stoss is in there now? Oh, dude. Okay, I'll have to go there and get me a coffee.
There you go.
That's my favorite micro roaster here in Columbus.
All right, I stopped recording, Joel. Say good night.
Good night, everyone. So my thoughts on this.
How you doing, Pat?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
All right. And Joe?
Hey, what's up?
And there's that Allen guy there, too.
Yeah, I know. I pop in every now and then.
Oh. Those, pick you posted of the car shows. They're nice cars.
Yeah, they had some really nice cars there. I really like that little pickup, the little semi there that the guy put together. That was really done nicely. I did that all on that Osmo Pocket that I have.
Where do they have the wheels a ton?
That's over in Macungie, in the park in Macungie.
Okay, that's right. I remember now. That's been going on for a lot of years.
Yeah, I think I sort of like 15, I think it is, or something like that, at least. Maybe more.
I think it's got to be a little more. I think it was going on when I lived there.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, well, yeah, it probably is longer then. I don't know. I probably hit the website. It should say on the website.
Where's your car in this mix?
Yeah, I don't really wish I had a car in there. Could put my Subaru out there.
A lot of people there.
It was, well, because it was so nice out, I mean, it was like maybe 75, you know, with a slight breeze, so it really kept it cool even though you were outside in the sun.
Yeah. So these, a lot of these people, are these local people, or do they come from like all over the country?
Probably a lot of them are local, but I think they probably it's a big club, and like you said, it's been going on for quite a while. So I would imagine there's probably a lot of people from a distance away too. And I think most of those were all driven. I didn't see anybody that was like, you know, really a trailer queen or anything like that.
Right. And I'm like, man, this is. There's a lot of cars, and if they were all local, I don't remember seeing anybody like driving around in a lot of these different vehicles.
Usually, well, I think there's a lot of those ones you probably, you know, you don't bring out unless it's really, really nice.
Do they still? But, didn't they used to have a law or something where the rule was like you could drive the classic cars on like a Sunday, but you couldn't any other day of the week or something like that?
I think if you register as classic, technically you're only supposed to drive a certain amount of mileage per year with it.
Okay.
But I don't know what that mileage is. I think probably the only trailer queens there was the last two pictures in that bunch of that that truck and that
with the motorcycle.
The little three wheeler. That's from a what's the guy? I think it's Counting Car or Counting Classics or something like that. It's one of those TV shows where they buy a car and put it together for some mid-level celebrity in Vegas.
Right.
It was the guy there was Horny Mike. He was one of the guys that works there. So basically, that truck had like Horny Mike written all over it, and yeah. He was there, posing with pictures for people.
Wait, who the hell is Horny Mike?
Like I said, I think it's. Let me find the show.
Is he the guy that does the show, or is he?
He is one of the people. He's one of the people that work in the show.
Oh, okay. It's not like some mid-level celebrity then. Because I was like,
well,
what show is Horny Mike on as a mid-level celebrity? That's not a porn show.
Counts Custom.
Okay.
But it's a it's called Counting Cars. It's on the History Channel. Yeah. Because it should be on the History Channel there.
Wait, is it still called the History Channel or did they change the name? No, that was a Learning Channel. They changed to they changed to TLC Discovery. And then they changed it to something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because says history like a custom-made car.
Yeah, nothing says history like a custom-made car. Nothing says Discovery like aliens. The alien specialists they have running all night long.
Yeah. You know what? Oh, you know what really frosted me about that? So, I was back when my dad was alive. We were up there, and he always watched those shows on like History and Discovery Channel of the ancient aliens. And they had that guy with the big poofy hair that. You know who I'm talking about. So like they're talking about
the guy that looks like an alien.
Yeah, they're talking about this like these strange geodes they found in South America that had pictures of people and dinosaurs together, and they're like, and they have an alien origin. They can never discover who it was. So it must have dated way back to having prehistory, and that's proof that. The aliens brought man and all this stuff, and they were trying to get it. And then I look it up online, and it's a Wikipedia article. It's like, yeah, they found out it was just this guy. It was a hoax that he was making these in South America and selling them. There's no scientific evidence whatsoever. It's just some guy with a hoax. And the show never mentioned it. I'm like, you know what? I can't believe they're passing this shit off without.
Well, isn't the dinosaurs and... And people, isn't that the orc down in, where is it, like, Kentucky or wherever the hell it is?
The museum.
They got
the big museum or something, yeah.
Yeah.
But, man. Yeah,
the orc just flooded.
People are funny, man. Everything's ancient aliens. It's all aliens.
Yeah. Oh, yay, yay.
It is entertaining, though.
I hardly ever watch it.
I loved watching those shows, especially growing up in Search of with Leonard Nimoy.
Oh yeah,
well, those were good. Yeah, those were good there. But now, like every one of those things on Discovery, it's like you can basically take an hour show and cut it down to like 25 minutes because it's like we're going to commercial and then we repeat the last 5 minutes of the show before we give you 3 minutes more of content and we go to commercial again.
And
then we repeat the last portion of the show.
I will take those over the Ghost Hunters and Monster Hunters any day, right? Because it's always the same thing. It's they go, what's that noise? It's nothing. We couldn't find anything.
Or, look, my meter moved.
It's
okay. So somebody turned on a light switch upstairs. That's why your meter moved,
Because, if they actually did find the ghost, they sure as hell wouldn't be putting it on that show now, would they?
Exactly.
That would be something. We gotta get the show going.
Wasn't that that Randy guy? Isn't he doesn't that what he does now?
Randy, was it Randy Plesser?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Wasn't this? Didn't he like shift everything to like ghost finding or something like that?
Yes. Yes. That is correct. I don't know. Was he a ghost hunter or a
supernatural?
All right. Randy Plaster seems like a normal enough guy. He has a pleasant wife whom he met online and married a year ago. He has a 19-year-old son who somehow dodged the truculence typical to teenagers. Stable job in a stable industry, computer specialist. But mention ghosts and cuckoo bells go off. So, yeah, he's got... You know, I'll just send this article in the chat. What? It's from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Put it over in the mumble as well. I don't have the chat running over here.
Yeah, September 1st, 2009, so... Wait, is this the one where they have his picture? Maybe they don't. I don't know. They're like, no picture for you. But no, this is the guy. Bum, 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 bum. These are 2003 human relations recipient in Lehigh County for his nonprofit organization Computer for Kids USA.
Yeah, they got all the free help we did for that.
Microsoft gave his nonprofit $275,000 of software for his program, as well as congressional award recipient from Congressman Charles Dent in 2005. Charles Dent, wasn't he a Batman villain, Two-Face? Oh, that's Harvey Dent. That would be fitting. It would be fitting. Well, wait a minute. What? So there was a show, Paramania. Looks like he was the host of. But I don't see it anymore. I don't even know when the last show was. They just say it's no longer there.
A photograph of his family flew out of a car seat pocket on a road trip and hovered in midair even though the car windows and vents were closed. So, air conditioning?
Shh. Fort Mifflin. Ghost, led by the Ghost Truster. I never heard of the term Ghost Truster. What's a Ghost Truster? I wonder if that's on Urban Dictionary. We better start the show. I can look up Ghost Truster later. All right. This is it, man. Wait. Pat, your kids are back in school now, right? Or did they?
Yeah, they started Monday.
They started, okay. They liking it?
So far.
That's good. Joel said he may not be on the show tonight. He's got a board meeting. I have no idea if Rich is showing up or not, but he would have probably been here by now.
Yeah, I don't know how long I'm going to be on. I ain't feeling that great.
I don't want your excuses, Joe.
Well, you're getting them anyway.
We're going to go old school tonight.
There we go.
I'll bring the beers over.
There we go.
Well, you don't want a Slurpee? Yeah. Remember those? Oh my goodness!
Miss sweat my ass off up in Dan's old room there,
with the dog peeing on the stuff. I hated that fucking dog. All right, let's start this show. We are on episode 823.